In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. A truly marvelous event unfolds before our eyes. While Jesus prays, he is changed. His face shines, his clothes radiate. Moses and Elijah appear. Elijah was taken up into heaven in a whirlwind. But Moses died and was buried by God, and yet here he stands with his body talking to Jesus about his exodus at Jerusalem. Yet they are not sad. They do not grieve over the cross or try to prevent Jesus from dying. No, they urge him forward. They speak of his promises. They rejoice in his blood, his cross, his death. It's why they are in heaven. His death is the main conversation in heaven. The blessed saints cannot get enough of it. They love to hear of his holy wounds, his pierced side. They're happy to speak about the nails, the spear, the blood. It's humiliating, to be sure, but joyful events for those saints. So do not think that the cross is Jesus' weakness while Easter is his power. Think like the saints triumphant. Think like Moses and Elijah. The cross is his greatest glory. His death is his greatest power. Hell is shut, Satan crushed, death consumed, and the grave is undone by his cross. Love reigns. Forgiveness for striking a rock instead of speaking to it. Forgiveness for running away and hiding on Mount Horeb. Forgiveness for adultery, murder, greed, despising authority, and any other sin that you have done, said, or thought. It's no wonder Moses and Elijah and all the saints cannot stop talking about Calvary. They know their sins, yet they also know his blood. On their own, they are lost, yet in him, they enjoy life and salvation. Do not feel sorry for Jesus that he had to go this way. Do not think that this tree was unavoidable or somehow a necessary evil. But look at the mountain where he is today. His face shines like the sun. His clothes are as white as light. The disciples fall on their faces. The guards in Gethsemane fall over. You can't arrest God, but he is willing. So rejoice that Jesus loves you more than his own life. Be happy that he chose the cross and claimed your sins as his own. He knew what he was doing on Christmas, at his baptism, on the Mount of Transfiguration, and on Palm Sunday. He loved you to the end. He wanted to give you something to talk about with Moses, Elijah, and all the other saints. Heaven does not grow tired of hearing of the forgiveness Christ won by his death. So let us not grow tired of hearing of that forgiveness. Why do we think it's not practical, relevant, or applicable to our day-to-day life? Perhaps it's because we are more like Peter than Moses and Elijah. We want to stay on this earth. Peter's request to build 3 tents is not sinful, but it is short-sighted. He doesn't understand the glory of the Lord. Like Peter, we get caught up in the moment. We become so overwhelmed with work, home, school, or friends that we grow short-sighted. Now, it is not wrong to pray for security at school, good friends and their support, stability at work, ease at home. How many times have we also prayed for the forgiveness of sins? How many times have we asked God for his Holy Spirit? How many times have we prayed that we or our children or our parents would be strengthened in the faith? God promises to give the Holy Spirit to them who ask. So have we asked? Our delight in heaven will be Jesus' cross. Should not our delight on earth be the same? The forgiveness of sins is the most practical gift that God could give. Just look at Moses and Elijah. His death had physical blessings. They talk with God and are not afraid. The Spirit overshadows them in a cloud and they are not afraid. The Father speaks and they are not afraid, for their body, soul, mind, their very being is perfected, sanctified, perfectly united to the Lord in a wondrous communion. They are not hidden somewhere in the earth, but they live with him. They are not forgotten, but Christ remains with them. Satan causes us to fear and to run away like Adam. Sin plants our faces in the dirt like these three disciples. But those in heaven shine with the brilliance and radiance of Christ. Like Moses, they reflect his glory. No longer are they weak, but they become their true selves. No more hiding behind makeup, the latest fashion, hair dye, or personas. But washed in his forgiveness, they delight in what God has made them, and it's clear to all. Their feet touch heaven's streets. Their arms embrace the mighty saints. Their mouths declare the wonders of his death and resurrection. So your lips and mouths here on earth delight that your believing relative, so disregarded by the world and, yes, even forgotten by the church, is a brilliant saint crowned with Christ to share in his glory. Each one is unique. No one did what your loved one did. Each one is loved by God. Each one forgiven by Christ. No one needed forgiveness as your loved one did. So to live and flourish in the courts of God, to praise and delight in his forgiving love, excites the heart and strengthens the weary. Our bodies will be changed, glorified to be like Christ. Yet it still will be your body. But it will be far more splendid than you can realize. As a seed and a plant that emerges from it are different and yet at the same time the same, so much more wondrous will be your resurrected body. It will make your 20s seem like an ugly age and a weak age. It will make your sharp mind seem dull and uninformed. Even the feeblest of us will be dazzling, radiant, immortal creatures, thoroughly pulsating with such energy, joy, wisdom, and love as we cannot imagine, so that we reflect back to God his perfect, boundless power, light, and goodness. Like infants in the womb, we cannot comprehend this life or understand all that Calvary has done for us. But we do know it awaits us. It is hidden from our eyes, but not from our ears. As the Holy Spirit overshadowed these disciples in a cloud, so he overshadows you in the Word. Do you want to see the transfigured Jesus? Then behold him in the Scriptures. These are not cleverly invented stories with the right mix of history and myth, but these are factual events that transcend nature and glorify man. As you hear these words, the Spirit envelops you to implant this glorified sacrifice in you, so you too might share in this glory, even as Moses and Elijah did. The cross alone can change you. So do not feel sorry for Jesus. But like Moses and Elijah, rejoice to hear yet again of his deep love for you. His glory is hidden in a cross. Your glory is hidden in a cross. No miracles, no visions, no displays of power, but death and resurrection. So as we share in the life of Jesus, we manifest his life in our flesh. As our bodies fade, his light shines ever brighter in us. As our bodies grow weak, we become stronger in him. As we approach the grave, his life becomes more clear. And in death, we find life with Christ himself. We join the saints triumphant, purified by Jesus' blood and sanctified by his sacrifice. In death, we are totally revived and made new, because for us, death is the gate to heaven. Jesus lives. Therefore, Moses and Elijah also live. So will we. And we will see him without fear, and we will finally be our true selves, and we will have no greater joy than to talk about Jesus' death and resurrection. So let us now practice here what we will busy ourselves with for eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.